The American League Championship Series is underway. The New York Yankees and Houston Astros have split the first two games of the series. We'll recap Game 1 and 2 and look ahead to the upcoming games in the Bronx. All this and more on this new episode of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered by Overtime Media.
Live from the Vivid Seats studio in Garfield, New Jersey, this is another episode of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Thank you once again for tuning into our podcast. We definitely appreciate all the support that we get from you on a regular basis. The American League Championship Series is underway. The Yankees and Astros tied up at one game apiece as the series shifts over to the Bronx. We're going to take a look into the first two games of the series, talk about how they might overall impact the series, and we'll look ahead to the three games upcoming in the Bronx. That and more on this episode. Reminder to follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Talk ND. You can follow my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Like us up on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. And once again, if you don't already know, our podcast is available on all podcasting platforms, starting with Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on there. We're also available on Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Breaker, CastBox, Pocket Cast, you name it, our podcast is there available for you. Take advantage of the different sites and share the link with a friend. I'm sure that they'll love to join in on our conversation as well. You want to support the show even more so? Buy a shirt from our Teespring account. Go to our social media accounts and find our link. Support the show. All proceeds made from the sale will go directly towards funding our podcast. Every bit of support is appreciated. And again, free advertising through t-shirts is a great thing. Help spread the word. We definitely would appreciate everything you guys have done for us already. Now, when you started this series with the Astros, we all know how good Houston is, and we all know how tough it is to win in Houston with this team. They won 60 games at home this regular season, and they're just a good overall team. But if you're the Yankees, and this was my mindset going in, my mindset was to win one of the first two games. That was crucial for me. You know, if you can get a split with this team, you return home to the Bronx where the home field advantage shifts and you put yourself in a position to do some damage in this series. And now, obviously, you want to win every game. There's not a game where you're going to say, oh, you know, we'll punt this game in the playoffs and give them the win. No. Every single game matters. Every single game counts. But, you know, if you're the Yankees, your ideal situation would be to either be split or to be up 2-0. You don't want to go down 0-2, especially coming home. Your backs are against the wall. So in game one, the Yankees turned to Masahiro Tanaka. And Tanaka's been great in the playoffs. We all know how good he's been for them. And he just delivered again. Went six strong innings, only threw 68 pitches. And that is shocking in itself that Aaron Boone did take him out of that ballgame. And he did decide to go to the bullpen to finish it off. But Tanaka was on a roll. And the Yankees really didn't need anything else from him. He only allowed one hit over those six innings. It felt like he was in cruise control. Just a big momentum shift for the Yankees because Houston couldn't get anything going right away, and that was an issue for them. And the Yankees were able to get an early lead in the fourth inning and then tacked on later on in the game. It was a 7-0 final. Greinke was okay. Six innings pitched, three earned runs. He wasn't spectacular, but he did enough to keep Houston relatively in the game. But let's just take a minute to talk about Gleyber Torres. Unbelievable night for Gleyber. Three hits and five at-bats, five RBIs, became the youngest Yankee to ever drive in five runs in a postseason game. And say what you want about this kid. 22 years old, he has just been unbelievable. You know, he's matured before our eyes, and everybody keeps saying how he's only 22 years old, but let's remember, the Yankees got him for Aroldis Chapman in the trade with the Cubs. The Cubs gave up Gleyber to help them win a World Series. And yeah, I'm sure they wouldn't trade that World Series for anything, especially given that they ended the drought. But Gleyber is a guy that it just appears that he's going to be in New York for a very, very long time, and he's going to be a special player in this game. And the sky is the limit for this kid. Every night it just seems like he does something else to help this team. He keeps growing as a player, and the poise that he has, even off the field, it just seems like he gets New York, he gets it, he loves the limelight, and it's just really nice to see, and knowing that you have a young core of Torres and Aaron Judge and guys like that to build around, it's an assuring feeling to be a Yankee fan. Some other notables in that ball game, you have to look at DJ LeMahieu at the top of the lineup, 2-for-4, 3 runs scored. Then Stanton hit a home run off of Grinke. Urshela hit a home run late in the game. There was a couple of good performances from them. The Yankees go to Ottavino and Britton in the bullpen, and Loaiza going to close it out. At that point, it was 7-0. Houston's offense was really stifled. They really didn't get much going, only 3 hits in the ballgame. The Yankees limited the walks as well. So it was a great way to start the series and a big momentum shift, because you're going into Houston, a place where they're 60-21 this season at home, well, in the regular season at least, and you slap them in the face right away and get a big win. And you show them that, you know, we're not going to bend down and give you the crown. Just because you won 107 games and people think that you're the favorite doesn't mean that we're not going to come in here and battle. And the Yankees did that, and it was a nice way to start the series. And heading into a game two where you know you're facing a Justin Verlander, that is a big change, because now you not only have a win in your back pocket, but you guarantee going home with at least a split. It's a big difference. And we're going to talk about that more as the show goes on. But again, it was just a really nice win for the Yankees to start this series. And you hate to say a quote-unquote perfect type of win, but that's as close to a perfect type of win as you're going to see. The offense was clicking. The pitching was good. They got contributions from multiple guys. Gleyber was fantastic. It was just an overall great performance by the Yankees and a big statement win in Game 1 of this series. We're going to take a quick commercial break before we look into Game 2. Before we do that, we have a special promo for you featuring Vivid Seats Mobile. Are you looking ahead to the Bronx during the postseason run? Or maybe you're looking ahead to the 2020 season and want to secure some tickets to see the New York Yankees in action. If so, use this great promo code from Vivid Seats Mobile. If you use the promo code OVERTIME in the Vivid Seats Mobile app, you could save up to $100 on all ticket purchases. This is for first-time customers only. So if you don't want to spend a lot of money but want some good seats at Yankee Stadium, use this promo code for first-time purchases and you can secure some great seats at a low discounted price. All you have to do is use the promo code OVERTIME in the Vivid Seats Mobile app and you could save up to $100 on all ticket purchases. Again, only for first-time customers only. If you do use this promo, send us a picture on Twitter of your seats and definitely thank us later, because we know you'll enjoy the game. Go to the Vivid Seats mobile app today for all your ticket purchases, especially with regards to your favorite team, the New York Yankees. And we are back here with another episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. And now, I hate to jump around, but I saved this topic for Game 2, specifically because the two players I'm about to talk to had an impact on Game 2. And before the series, obviously, the teams have to release a roster, and they give a 25-man roster of the players that are active for that given series. And the Yankees made two rather big changes to their roster by adding Aaron Hicks and CC Sabathia to the roster and taking off Tyler Wade and Luke Voit. What a surprise to see Aaron Hicks back, especially given that he hasn't played since August 4th. Looked like his season was actually over, but Hicks was able to rebound and get back onto the field. And we all know about CC in his final season. Had some shoulder nagging injuries. His knee was probably a little banged up, but he's back in a bullpen role. And the two guys that the Yankees left off the roster were Voit and Wade. Voit, who is dealing with his own injury of the sports hernia, really wasn't a factor in the ALDS, and they really didn't need him for the ALDS. And Wade, yeah, his speed is valuable and his versatility is valuable. So the Yankees had a tough decision on their hands as to who to leave off the roster to activate the two guys that they put onto it. And again, when you have depth, it's a good problem to have, but it could end up hurting you down the stretch, especially if one of the guys doesn't really perform well, that you add to the roster, or in a certain case, you might need one of the guys that you kept off the roster that could have made a difference in that ball game, or maybe even in multiple ball games. Now, as we break down game two, you're going to see a little bit of a different situation, because not only do Aaron Hicks and CC Sabathia get into the ball game, but there was a situation in the game where Tyler Wade's speed could have definitely paid off in the long run, helping this team hopefully get a victory. Yankees go into the ballgame knowing that Justin Verlander's on the other side pitching against them, and Verlander was okay. He let up 2 runs over 6 2/3. Aaron Judge got to him with the 2-run home run, which was huge considering the fact that James Paxton didn't have it. The Yankees had to pull him early in the game. And I want to give credit where credit's due, because other than 1 or 2 mistakes, I thought Aaron Boone managed a really good game for this team and really put them in a position to win this game. Let's digest this a little bit, shall we? Let's look into the whole grand scheme of things. Paxton comes out of the game in the 3rd inning, allows 1 run. And right from there, you can make the case that the Yankees were in deep trouble. However, what's the Yankees' strength? Their bullpen. And what did the bullpen do? For the most part, the bullpen did its job and kept this team in the game. Bravo to Chad Green. 2 extremely strong innings for him. Didn't allow a hit. Didn't allow a base runner. He was fantastic. You can make the case that he should have stayed in the game even longer. But Aaron Boone takes him out. Goes to Adam Ottavino. But Adam Ottavino lets up a home run to Springer. Changes the whole complexion of the game. And right from there, the ball game's tied. But then the Yankee strength comes back out. Canley, 2 1/3. Dominant performance. Britton, 1 inning. And another strong outing. Then you go to Chapman, another inning. That gets you into extra innings, because at that point, the Yankees couldn't muster up another run. A big turning point in the game was when LeMahieu gets thrown out at the plate. A lot of people questioned whether or not Phil Nevin should have sent them. I agree with the call. With Gary Sanchez struggling and the way that ball was hit and deflected off Altuve, I would have taken the same chance. It just happened that Correa made a heck of a play and a beautiful throw. A bad throw, or even a throw that wasn't as perfect as that, and he's safe, and that changes the whole complexion of the game. So a couple of plays really stand out, and then you have to look into extra innings. Sanchez striking out on that pitch, that was absolutely a makeup call. If you remember that play beforehand, he kind of, quote-unquote, fouled it off and not even close to it. But then he ends up striking out, and that leaves a couple runners on and really kills the rally. What I said earlier was how Wade's speed could have impacted this game. Edwin Encarnacion gets on via walk. He really is struggling at the plate. But that was a situation where Wade's speed could have helped them. So there are pluses and minuses and positives and negatives to keeping guys like Wade off the roster and mixing and matching. We saw Aaron Hicks in this ballgame. He got 1 at-bat. Hit the ball hard but didn't get on base. Played a little center field. We saw CC Sabathia. He came in. He got 1 out. But again, you're going to probably kick yourself saying, you know, we should have really kept Wade on the roster. But in the same token, the Yankees have to go with their best 25 guys. And this is the roster they felt worked. So be it. You don't have speed. It came back to bite him in this game. But Encarnacion might hit 2 home runs. He might not need anybody to pinch run for him in the future. So you look at it, it's a really tough game to lose. They lose in 11 innings due to a home run by Carlos Correa. I could not stand watching that, and I couldn't shut the TV off. It was very frustrating. It was one of those situations where you didn't want to watch, but you kind of watched, and not in shock, but in disappointment. It was one of those games where you just felt the Yankees had every opportunity to win it and just couldn't muster up the big hit or the big play at the right time in order to do so. The Yankees offense, there's guys who are struggling. Encarnacion's one of them. Gary Sanchez, you can make the case for Urshela, who was 0-for-4. He did homer in the first game. That's concerning. Didi, 0-for-4. He's struggling. The Yankees need these guys to get back on track because it doesn't get easier. And we're going to talk about game three in a little bit. But it doesn't get easier. They're going to have to step up. And it's one of those games where you could have easily got a win and came home up 2-0. It changes the series in a big way. So you come home with a split. You'll obviously take it. You're not down 2-0. It could be a lot worse. But just disappointing how game two ended. And you just hope that that's not a momentum shift that the Astros are going to build on. Hopefully the Yankees are able to stop that momentum in game three and really come out with a vengeance at home and take care of business. But before we get into the games in the Bronx, we're going to take another quick commercial break. We'll be right back here on the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered by Overtime Media. And we are back here on the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered by Overtime Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Reminder to follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Talk ND and my personal account at Nick_Delahanty to join in on the conversation. As the playoffs keep rolling, we hope that you continue to talk to us because we love talking Yankees baseball. Now we look ahead to the Bronx, and you have to think that the advantage is for the Yankees because you're coming back to your home field and you're playing the next 3 days in your home stadium, and it's a great thing. But you are also playing a great team on the other side of the field that has the momentum from that game too. There's a lot to digest in the remainder of this series. But one thing that I want to talk about before we get into the actual game is the start time of game three. A 4:07 start time is absolutely, positively pathetic. Pathetic. Major League Baseball cries and moans. They want to get people involved. They want to get fans involved in the game. Who's watching a 4 o'clock game on the East Coast or even in anywhere? Nobody. I know for one, I'm missing game three. I'm heartbroken about it. I can't sit there and watch it. 4 o'clock's way too early. Come on, Major League Baseball. Do better. Spread the games out. Do better. Make it so fans can watch. We want to see these games in action. They're great games. You mean to tell me that Houston and New York, the best games that you have all postseason, are only good enough for a 4 o'clock start? Come on. Please do better. Make it so the fans can actually watch the game and enjoy the game and be around to embrace the game. You want to grow the game? Make it so fans can actually watch them. That's pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. And I hope it doesn't have an impact on Yankee Stadium because people work. You're going to have the diehards in Yankee Stadium. They're not going to let anything go against the wayside here. They're going to be loud. They're going to be proud. They're going to be rocking and rolling. But it's a shame that that game is a 4 o'clock start. The American League Championship Series is a 4 o'clock start and probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest game of the series. What a shame. What an absolute shame. But let's look into the matchup, shall we? We have a great pitching matchup on tap as Gerrit Cole and Luis Severino are set to square off in the ballgame. Gerrit Cole has been phenomenal for the Astros. Let's not put anything on the side here. Let's be completely honest. He's been fantastic down the stretch. A really good pitcher in his contract year. Some team's going to unload the bank for him. And he's just a special talent. He's really refound himself in Houston. And he's a guy that the Yankees are going to have to get to early if they want to beat him in Game 3. But the Yankees counter with Luis Severino, their ace. The guy who didn't pitch much during the regular season due to injury. But he's been back. He's been dealing. He's been battling. He's been a bending but not breaking. But the Yankees need a solid outing out of him. And who knows how long he'll be able to go in this game. If Severino gives the Yankees 5 innings or 5 plus, I think the Yankees win this ballgame. They'll turn it over to the strength just like they did in Game 2. Paxton didn't have it. Boone wasn't afraid to give him the old hook. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But I think the Yankees need at least 15 outs out of Severino. That's 1-5, 15 outs. They need that. He can do it. I'm sure he's ready. I'm sure he's up to the challenge. They need him to go at least 5 and keep the Yankees either tied or with the lead. But the Yankees offense is going to have to figure it out as well. They struggled to produce runs against Justin Verlander. They're going to have to get the call early. I think being in Yankee Stadium is going to help. I think the atmosphere is going to be electric. If they can get an early lead, it's going to be deafening in there. It's going to be a fun time for all involved. I think that this is a game where if the Yankees could squeeze a win, it's going to play big dividends in this series, especially with arguably Houston's best pitcher on the mound. And you can make the case it's Verlander, but they're like 1 and 1A. They're both very good arms. They're going to have to just figure it out. And they might have to muster some runs. They might have to get gritty and play the first to third on a single game or, you know, timely hitting, runners in scoring position. The home run ball, hopefully it's there. But again, there's a situation it might not be there. The Yankees had that trouble last night. And if you don't have the home run ball working, it's going to be hard to generate runs against Gerrit Cole. So there's a lot of keys to this game. And again, the earlier you get Cole out of it, the better off you are. Get to the Astros bullpen. Let the bullpen try to shut you down. It's really concerning thinking about what the weather looks like for Game 4 on Wednesday. There's a chance this might get pushed back and they'll lose the travel day heading to Houston if there is a Game 6. That can be a huge difference in this series. Aaron Boone already said he expects for Game 4 to be a bullpen game. I don't know if that changes if it gets pushed back a day. I could see Masahiro Tanaka making the start if it is pushed back, and then them going with a bullpen game in maybe a Game 5 and having Paxton piggyback that, considering how poor he did in Game 2. There's a lot of decisions Aaron Boone can make, and I just feel like he's going to make decisions that are going to put them in a good spot. You know, analytically, we all know the data. Every team uses it. But the decisions, other than the fact of Ottavino coming in for Green, I really agreed with most of the decisions that Boone made in that ballgame. He's starting to grow on me as a manager more and more every day. He's starting to figure it out how to really manage, and I think last year's postseason really helped him do that. So I give him a lot of credit, and I have a lot of faith in him that he's going to put this team in a good direction to hopefully win this series. And another thing he's going to have to watch out for is the health of Giancarlo Stanton. Who knows if Stanton's going to be able to play? We heard he suffered a quad injury. He's a little banged up. Hopefully it's nothing serious because they're better with him in the lineup. Are they going to have to go to a situation where Hicks starts in center field and Gardner's in left? Time will only tell. But there's a lot of things to look forward to in this series, and there's a lot of key turning points that are going to ultimately decide this series. So with the next three games at home, the Yankees need to win at least two of three. You have to go back to Houston with a lead, because then all you have to do is split. And it's something that they've already done. 2017, they weren't able to split, and that hurt them in the series. But they've proven that they could win in Houston. So they're going to have to do it again. I don't expect them to sweep. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I'm definitely biased. I'm a Yankees fan. I'm a diehard fan. I hope they win all three and win it at home and pop champagne and get ready for the World Series. But I am also a realist. I know what's going to happen with this series, and I know Houston's too good of a ball club that they're just not going to give up three games just because they're not at home. It's going to be a battle. Brace yourselves, because the next 3 days are going to be crazy. Yankees fans, be ready. If you are heading to the Bronx, they need you loud and proud. They need all the energy to be focused on helping this team win. The home field advantage is key. We saw how loud Houston was. Let's make Yankee Stadium two times more loud. Heck, three times more loud. As loud as you can get. We'll be rooting from home because work and other priorities keep us from going to the Bronx. But you know our pinstripes will be on and we'll be wearing them and rocking them and definitely cheering on this team to the point where we'll have no voice. But don't worry, we'll have a voice for our next show when we break down all the latest regarding the New York Yankees. That's going to wrap it up for today's show. Before we wrap up today's show with our normal stuff, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back here on the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered by Overtime Media. And we're here to wrap it up on today's episode of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Reminder, follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Talk ND. Hit up my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Find us on Facebook by liking up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Again, our podcast available on all podcasting platforms. Subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. Find us also on Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, Pocket Cast, Breaker, Stitcher, you name it, it's there. You want to support our show? Buy a t-shirt. Go to our Teespring account, buy a shirt. Buy a shirt for your family, buy a shirt for your friends. We appreciate all the support. It's free public advertising. Help us out. We love having your help in supporting our program. That's going to wrap up the show. As we prepare for the next three games of the ALCS, we just have one thing to say. Let's go Yankees. Hopefully the Yankees bring it home. Hopefully we don't have to go back to Houston. But we're in for a dogfight, and we are ready. Keep rocking the pinstripes. Keep supporting this team. It's going to be an exciting week ahead. Let's stay positive, people. Game 2 was rough, but Game 3, 4, and 5 are hopefully going to be a lot more sweeter in the Bronx. So for today's episode of Pinstripe Talk Podcast, I'm your host, Nick Dallahanty, powered by Overtime Media. We thank you again for listening in, and we'll talk to you next time here on the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered by Overtime Media. Catch you next time.